Hello, hello, hello. What is up, you guys? This is Hybrid Podcast. I was going to say the Hybrid Podcast, but Ohio State's trying to trademark the word the, so we're just skipping over that.
We're going to attempt to omit the word the from every sentence in the entire podcast, so bear with us here.
There is absolutely no chance we pull this off, but we'll see what happens. My name is Noah Cole. I'm here with Nathan Warr. I'm so excited to be here. Got tons of golf to go over, tons of football to go over. The NFL preseason, we're jumping into it. Got plenty of stuff to talk about. Really quickly, if you like our podcast, if you want to support us, there is a link below on whatever listening platform you are using. If you don't already follow us on social media, please do so at Hybrid Podcast. That's all one word, at Hybrid Podcast. Full show today. Gonna try not to say the word duh, but it's not gonna happen. So stick around. So the NFL season is starting. We haven't gotten to like actual football games or preseason football. I know there's a lot of people who love preseason football. I'm not a big preseason football guy. I'm just not. You don't get to see the starters. You get to see some below average backup quarterbacks going up against, you know, second string, third string defenses. I don't buy into it a lot. I know the Lions just got absolutely spanked by the Patriots, but I'm trying not to buy into it too much. But there's a number of storylines to go over. We're going to go through as many of them as we can. We're going to start out with Antonio Brown, former Chippewa, incredible wide receiver, arguably one of the best wide receivers in the country. Hasn't played for the Raiders yet this season, but was traded to the Raiders, left the Steelers, joined the Raiders, and has been a nightmare so far. Just an absolute nightmare. I figured he would have drama. I figured he would have problems later on in the season when the Raiders weren't doing so well. I never thought it would be before the football season even started. This is a guy who, like 2 days ago, wasn't even going to play football anymore because he couldn't find his helmet. Like he didn't like the helmet that was being given to him by the Raiders. He wanted his old, unsafe helmet. And it's also a guy who chose to freeze off his feet. So, I don't know. Antonio Brown's something else.
Are we really surprised by anything this guy's doing anymore?
Honestly, I mean, no.
It's insane what this guy is doing. And, I mean, at first, when I saw his feet, I thought it was just like him. I've heard how dedicated he is in the gym and doing, like, you know, running and cardio and stuff like that. I figured it was just, like, from running so much. Yeah. But no, it was because he did this to himself.
He, like, froze his feet off thinking it would do, I don't know. There's been a couple
that,
quotes.
Like, cryogenic.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
therapy why or something would, like that.
It's like the, there's got to be some clause in his contract that's like, yeah, don't
that
do that.
You from doing that. Yeah, and really the biggest winner here, it's got to be the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, yeah. Juju Smith-Schuster right now is probably just chilling, having a great idea.
They have to be taking the biggest sigh of relief out of any organization over the past decade.
It's like,
over
yeah, absolutely.
I mean, they dodged such a big bullet. They basically got him for the little window of time that he was very good. I mean, not even very good. Top of the league.
Yeah.
And now he's just a basket case. He's just not
he's
even.
Kind of insane.
He is. I mean, he's threatening to not play because he wants to use inferior equipment that's going to put his mental health in danger.
When was the last time you saw a professional star go on social media and ask the fans, "Hey guys, I'm looking for a Shut Air Advantage adult large helmet that was manufactured in 2010 or after in exchange for a trade, in exchange I will trade a signed practice-worn Raiders helmet." Can you, what? Like, this dude goes on social media and just was like, "Hey fans, like, I can't find one, so maybe you guys can." Like,
you think, you know, like, his connections would get him a little something more than that.
Like, are you kidding me? Yeah. Like, what?
I just don't understand why it's, well, what I immediately thought of was, like, okay, obviously, it's going to be weird at first switching helmets, but yeah, it's almost like, you know how like when Twitter changes their format or Snapchat changes yeah, their format, at first there's like a huge revolt, like everybody hates it, but within a week you're used to yeah, it and you totally oh, yeah, forget. So that's, you totally forget that there even was like a former different version of that, you know, platform.
Yeah.
And I feel like it'd be the same exact way. In a week, he'd just totally forget about the old helmet. I mean, it can't make that big of a difference. I know it's huge for like vision and yeah, things like that and just overall comfort, but I'd like to believe that over the years they've gotten more comfortable and not gone the other way.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, so, I mean, and they're safer. You know, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, that's the bottom line, is like, they're safer, and he should be the first one to sign up for a new helmet.
There's a reason why these players, like, you're not allowed to wear the old helmets, and it's because your skull actually is kind of important. Your brain is actually kind of important, and you need to protect it properly. Yeah. And Antonio Brown, I'm not going to say, you know, he's kind of all over the place on this, and maybe it's because he needed a different helmet growing up, mm-hmm. but I don't know. And the frostbite thing just seems like immaturity, where you should know better, and, you know, like, you got to put your team in a position to win, and he hasn't been there. Gruden's supporting him, but then, like, the other day, he's like, I'm not going to play football again, and it's just like, what is going on? If I'm a Raiders fan right now, I am so concerned, it's not even funny. Plus, you got Hard Knocks involved, so, I mean, that's just TV. So.
Yeah, exactly, and I mean, I'm sure they're going to do all they can to cover that up for Hard Knocks and just try and make all this dysfunction look more, you know, just normal, but I mean, I'm sure they have a lot of power in what Hard Knocks actually gets to, you know, like, display, but it's going to be apparent even watching Hard Knocks just how dysfunctional this franchise is. And I mean, the whole frostbitten feet thing, that almost seems like he had to have just gone out and tried to do it himself, like, thinking that he knows better than, you know, a doctor that's done this that spent a decade in school learning how to do this properly, and he probably just went out and did it himself because that's just the kind of ego this guy has. Instead of leaving it to a doctor to do, or just a specialist, he went out and did it himself, and look at the end result.
I mean, seriously, it's
no, that's the
disgusting.
Only way that could have happened.
Like,
the
don't Google
way.
This guy's feet.
It's disgusting.
It is insane. So, next topic we're going to get to, Dak Prescott. He's a quarterback I've always really liked. He's a great leader. He's one of those young gun guys who has just been really impressive early on his career. Hasn't gotten a lot of money. Doesn't make a lot of money. The Cowboys have a lot of young talent. This is America's team. This is America's, you know, this is the team that is rooted for by so many people. They have a young quarterback in Dak Prescott that allows them to be successful because they don't have to pay him. We've talked about this a million different times. When you have the young players, Patrick Mahomes is an incredible talent, arguably one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now, and is getting paid next to nothing. Same deal with Dak Prescott. He doesn't get paid. Cowboys finally pull up. They're going to offer him $30 million a season, which is nothing to laugh at. That's a lot of money. That's exactly how much money Matt Ryan makes. He would be one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL. Dak returns with I'm looking for $40 million, which would make him the highest paid player in the NFL. Not even close. So, what do you think on Dak Prescott?
Well, as you know, one of my things that I always like to preach, probably my number one thing, is just self-awareness. And I get it that the market is there, and he has a ton of leverage at the moment, but it's at the same time, $30 million, that's a lot of money. I mean, I remember when Matt Ryan got his contract for $30 million, it wasn't that long ago, and people were really kind of upset about the amount of money he made. And I don't think... I could see Dak Prescott being at about the same level as Matt Ryan, but I don't think if he is better, it's much better. So, I don't know. I think he just needs to take the money and do his job, get to work. But you know what? If he can somehow get more money, then good on him.
Dak Prescott right now, I mean, this is just insane. I'm gonna start naming some players who make more money at the quarterback position than Dak Prescott does per year. Are you ready for this? Cody Kessler, Joshua Dobbs, CJ Beathard makes more, Tom Savage, Geno Smith, Will Greer, Mason Rudolph, Blake Bortles, Josh Johnson, the Lions backup quarterback, DeShone Kizer makes more money, Kevin Hogan makes more money, Brian Hoyer. This list is in Robert Griffin III.
Easton Stick, whoever
this
that is.
This is unreal how... Dwayne
but, I mean,
Haskins.
Not for long. He's clearly,
no, he's
going
clearly
to get minimum gonna,
yeah,
30 million.
He's clearly going to make a lot of money.
Get, I think. But the thing is, like, they're rookie contracts for a reason. Like, you're supposed to get these guys for dirt cheap for the first handful of years that they play for you. And I mean, it's officially his time. So.
And then they try to prove themselves in that low money time, and see if they deserve that big contract. The question is, does Russell he Wilson right now is getting $35 million per year. Is Dak Prescott above Russell Wilson?
No. Not even close.
No one's ever going to, is Dak Prescott above Aaron Rodgers? Is Dak Prescott above some of these other guys? No way. The dude's a great leader. He's super talented. He's been very efficient as a Cowboys starting quarterback, and he has been one of the big reasons the Cowboys have had any success at all. Is he better than Russell Wilson, Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers? Not even close. Not close at all.
I agree. And it really is like every year you'll see a big baseball contract, and it's always, this is the biggest contract in the history of the MLB. Every year it happens when a superstar signs. You know, Giancarlo Stanton a few years ago, that was topped by Bryce Harper. Like, it always happens. When it comes to football, it's been happening too. Matthew Stafford, you know, Matt Ryan. I just don't want Dak Prescott to be the next, this is the biggest contract in NFL history, because it really just wouldn't be a good look for the NFL.
It wouldn't.
He isn't.
I don't think it'd be a good look for. Tier, yeah.
He's not a top tier QB. He doesn't deserve
it. I think it would look bad for Dak. I mean, he's one of those guys, like, that's why he's so likable right now, is because he doesn't get the money. He doesn't have.
Greedy.
Yeah, he's just a selfless kind of guy. And now these reports that he's turned down $30 million, like, if you paid this dude $35 million a year, that's as much as Russell Wilson gets. I mean, that's still a ridiculous contract, but maybe it doesn't go down as bad in the news. But the fact that they're saying right now $40 million is the number he's going for, which would put him $5 million above Russell Wilson, that's insane. Like, that's nuts. Like, what are you, what? Like, come on, my guy.
One thing to take into consideration here is it is the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
So we need to keep that in mind, but at the same time, I'm just going to keep harping on what I've said earlier, and that's, it's Dak Prescott. At the end of the day, he's Dak Prescott, and while he does have talent, he just doesn't have $40 million a year talent.
Yeah, and another big problem, and this is, you know, you see, this is why Tom Brady's been so efficient and so effective for so long, is because Tom Brady's one of those guys who turns down that big contract. He's not getting paid as much as some of these other guys and allows them to have other stars. The Cowboys have other stars. Ezekiel Elliott will not play unless he gets a deal restructured. They've got Amari Cooper, whose contract's soon to be up. They have big-name talent who deserve big payout, and it just, I mean, if Dak Prescott gets paid $40 million a year, how are they going to pay these other stars? Mm-hmm. They can't, and it ruins the entire thing. That's what happens every, you look at the Falcons. When they paid Matt Ryan, the whole thing went up in flames. They were in the Super Bowl, they paid Matt Ryan, and then they were nothing. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly where they are and where they're going to be. Same thing with the Lions. They paid Matthew Stafford. They haven't been able to build a team because they're paying an average quarterback so much money.
Mm-hmm.
It's so frustrating from a fan. If I'm a Cowboys fan, as much as I like Dak Prescott, because I am a Dak Prescott fan. I loved him in college. He was more cowbell. He was great. But dude's not $40 million. Mm-hmm. He's not $40 million a year.
And this right here is exactly why the Patriots got so lucky, because Tom Brady, not only is he an awesome talent and he just works as hard as he does, he's a good looking guy and he married a supermodel who can take care of a lot of financial.
Yeah, they're okay.
Yeah, I mean, financially they're fine, and that's a big part of it. And that's why I don't really blame Dak Prescott or any major athlete like this who wants to go get paid. I mean, like we say, at the end of the day, this is their job. This is how they make money. I don't blame them at all, but at the same time, I think you could take a little bit less and take kind of the Brady route.
I think the big argument, and like, this is pretty much, okay, there are how many, are there two, three, there are three Lions quarterbacks other than Matthew Stafford who are getting paid more money than Dak Prescott. It's unreal.
The whole death chart.
That is unreal. But here's the only argument I have for why Dak Prescott does deserve $40 million. This is a guy who's been a starting quarterback in the NFL getting paid absolutely what feels like nothing compared to some of these. I mean, you look, there are three other Lions quarterbacks, backup quarterbacks, making more money than he is right now. And he's been playing, competing, and winning in the NFL.
Make up for lost time. That's exactly it.
His eyes, he's saying, look, you guys should pay me for what I have already brought and what I'm going to bring, rather than what I'm going to bring.
Like, this hasn't just been an audition. Like, I should be compensated for what I've already put into this organization.
He's not just being picked up, like, on some other team where, like, he hasn't done anything for them. What he has done is he's been a very efficient quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's been a very effective quarterback. He's won a lot of games with the Cowboys. And it kind of feels like they deserve to maybe maybe give him a little bit more money.
Yeah, I'm totally with you there, because that is huge. It's something you can't really just overlook, is the fact that this man he's been dedicated to this franchise.
Yeah.
And like you said, I mean, it's not just, okay, like, we're starting fresh, give me my money for the next, like, no, you paid me just nothing these first few years that I played for you. Let's make up for that a little bit. So that way it's almost like he'd be getting really like $25 million a year,
exactly.
And then it'd be like $15 million.
But you'd be paying back
prior
the
years.
Exactly. Which in that case, if he went public with that and was like, look, this is what's happened. And if he literally, I mean, I have a list pulled up on my computer. If he just showed him the list of, here are the people who are getting paid a lot more money than, you know, and here are the people I've competed against, and, you know, what I've done in terms of the amount of work and the amount of pressure that I've had to go through compared to some of these other guys, these third string quarterbacks who are getting more money than me, I think he could go with that argument, and I think he would have a legitimate case. I don't know if it's $40 million, though. I just don't want to live in a world where Dak Prescott is the number one paid quarterback in the NFL.
It's just not a fun world to be a part of.
It just isn't it isn't how it should work. Like, that's just not it. Like, I don't...
And also on the flip side, you can't also just look at it like, okay, this is if you treat it like a real job, in a real job, you have to pay your dues and you have to spend time working your way up. And once you get to the top, you don't just get compensated for, you know, the earlier years you spent grinding, starting from the bottom at the bottom of the totem pole. Like, you don't just get compensated for that. So if you're treating it like a real job, then yeah, he should just get like $30 million. But
yeah, absolutely.
I get both sides. I really do. If this goes either way, I won't be, you know, devastated. But yeah.
I think like $35 million seems like more of the right number. And that's right at what Russell Wilson makes. But I think because of what he did before he got that big payday, I think they do deserve to give him a little bit more money because of that. So I'm not saying he's technically worth the $35 million a year, but I will say that, you know, it feels like he has been cheated almost. I mean, the system is the system and that's how it's set up, but you know, he does deserve money. I don't know if $40 million is just ridiculous. Like, that's $5 million more than the next. Mm-hmm. That's just,
And it's $10 million less that they get to spend on other players.
Exactly. And, you know, Amari Cooper wants a deal. Zeke wants a deal. And you're not going
to
be
able to. You might have to kiss both of those players goodbye because of this contract. Yeah.
Honestly, yeah. And there goes your offensive line. And there goes your other talent. Mm-hmm. And then your team is doomed. Like, that. This is relatable stuff, Cowboys. Watch out.
As Lions fans, we know exactly where this road is headed. So.
Yeah, it's not great. So next topic, Tom Brady has signed a new contract that makes him a free agent at the end of the year, which is a situation the Patriots have never been in. But basically what this contract was is it's a two-year, $70 million contract extension. What it does is it gives him the option to basically, he makes more money than he was going to make anyway. So yeah, I'm cool with this. Tom Brady, you know, he's the GOAT. This is a move we just haven't seen from New England in a long time. And it kind of feels like the end of an era in New England almost. Like, it's kind of ushering in like, okay, so you do have a soul. Like, you are going to pay your guy who deserves a lot more money. You are going to finally give him as much as you can. And this was a situation where this is really as much money as they could possibly give him. Like, they had the deal structured in a way where it was better for their program anyway, and then they changed it to make it better for their guy, which I respect. You got to respect that for the Patriots, but it also doesn't feel like a Patriots thing at all, so they know their time with Tom Brady is coming to an end. I don't think he's done after this year. I don't think he leaves after this year. I mean, yes, he's going to be a free agent. Yes, it's, you know, are we going to like, Tom Brady is the biggest free agent on the market right now, like, after this season. But it doesn't feel like they're going to lose him. I think Tom Brady will retire as a Patriot. That would just change the whole game if he left. Mm-hmm. But that's just kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah, I would agree. And the Patriots, let's not paint them in like this ruthless way, where they're like just weren't paying Tom Brady. Because Tom Brady was totally cooperative in all this. I think he was the one who like initiated all the structure or contract restructures and things like that to make sure that other players can get paid. So, I don't know. To me, it does seem like this is your final contract with us, like, regardless.
Yeah.
Because I think they're saying, like, there's only so many years you can endure in the NFL.
And doesn't he want to play till he's, like, 45?
45, yeah. So,
yeah, so I mean, he's got some time. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't see him playing till he's 45. I mean, we saw the gap and the drop in his overall talent just from this past year, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't know. He's obviously super talented. He's keeps posting these videos on social media where he like looks super good. Like his running is his 40 times are like way faster than they were like when he was drafted. Uh-huh. And he's like proving to everybody that like I'm actually like better right now than I was back then, which is insane. Crazy, yeah. Like that's nuts. This dude is old. Like
he's 42 years old.
42 years old. He's got 3 more years to go to reach that 45 goal, you know, year goal. He's going to break all the records in terms of just how old he's playing. I don't know. I respect the Patriots for what they're doing. Going out there getting your guy a little bit more money seems like the right thing to do, but at the same time, it's not a very Patriots thing to do. It's not what they've done in the past. And it kind of just makes me a little nervous for the franchise.
Mm-hmm. It's a little bit a part of it could also be the Rob Gronkowski retirement too. I mean, I don't know, maybe it's freed up some cap space or something like that. But I mean, you're right. It doesn't feel like it's the Patriots way.
Yeah, exactly.
As they like to say, because it is all about, you know, just paying players usually less than their market value.
Yeah. And then they get rid of them right before mm-hmm. they have to pay them.
A year early, not a year late.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And they're great at that.
Mm-hmm. But to me, it just almost feels like we, regardless of what you want, you're done after this contract. So we're going to pay you while we have the opportunity to.
Yeah, absolutely. So last topic for the NFL. Andrew Luck has been one of those players. We talked about him last year. Borderline, you can make an argument he's one of the more talented quarterbacks in the NFL. Super talented guy, very accurate passer, but he's had so many, it feels like every single time we talk about Andrew Luck, it's because of there's some weird injury going on with this guy. Last year, he couldn't pick up a football for some reason. I still don't understand those reports. Dude couldn't pick up a football and throw it. So, I mean, that's whatever you want to make of it. This year, it has been reported as of 20 hours ago that he has a high ankle problem. It feels like, I guess the reports are saying it's a sprain. Doesn't appear like he will start week one. They aren't necessarily sure if, I mean, they're not going to rule him out yet, but he's having trouble moving side to side. It doesn't look great. Andrew Luck is one of those super talented guys who just always, it's like Carson Wentz. They're just always hurt for some reason, and it's really frustrating from a fan's perspective.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like you want to get a notification when he's healthy instead of a notification when he gets injured. That's just how often he's injured, you know? And, I don't know. Durability is a huge part in today's at any sport. I mean, basketball is huge. Football is huge. Even baseball. You want to be durable, and he simply hasn't been durable. I mean, and a lot of it is out of your control, but there's a lot to be said for when you're able to get out there and be on the court in the field every day for your team. Like LeBron James is rarely injured.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of why a lot of people consider him to be the GOAT, if not the second best of all time, simply because he's always out there and he's rarely injured.
Yeah. So
to me, durability is huge. And I have no idea what a lot of it might be mental, simply because of the whole couldn't even pick up a football thing last year. That's just 100% mental, and I don't blame him.
Well, yeah, he had the calf strain, and it, I guess what it looks like is it's just turning into like an ankle injury. I mean, that happens. When you get injured a certain way, then you favor a certain part of your body a little bit more, be a little bit more cautious, and that leads to injuries in other places because you're not being as cautious there.
And like, overcompensating.
Exactly. And, and that'll mess you up. It does, you know, the reports are coming in. He's not going to play in the preseason. He's done for the preseason. But this is a legit Super Bowl contender in the Indianapolis Colts if Andrew Luck is healthy. So this is a terrible, terrible headline to see if you're a Colts fan, if you're rooting for the Colts, because this guy is super talented, and that's pretty much what they have. Mm-hmm. Like, without him at quarterback, they're not great. Like, we saw it all last year. I mean, this is a guy who, when he's healthy, when he's balling out there, this is a Colts team that's really, really good.
And with him, yeah, with him at the helm, they look almost unstoppable.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And there was a point in last year's playoffs where I was like, watch out for these guys. Yeah. It was after they beat, I think it was the Texans in the first round of the playoffs.
They're young.
The wild card.
They're young. They're talented. They've got a number of good players. They also have Eric Ebron, who's not a good player. Just throwing that out there. Not a fan. He's probably going to chirp me on social media for saying that. But no, they've got some talent. They've got a lot of good pieces, but they need... I mean, you need your quarterback. It's the most important position in sports.
I don't think anybody's going to argue
that. No one's going to argue that. You need your guy. Andrew Luck is their guy, but dude's got to get healthy, like, immediately. If they want to have any chance this season, they need Andrew Luck to be 100%, and it just it's getting closer and closer to the season, and it just doesn't look like he's going to be there.
Which is unfortunate, because you never want injuries to, you know, delay derail your season.
And that's exactly where this is going.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Hybrid Podcast. Stick around. PGA Tour, Bryson DeChambeau, one of my all-time favorite players. Of course, he hits the one-length irons. He's the scientist. He's a nerd. He breaks down the different, you know, aspects, like the wind speed on the green when you're putting, different things like that. Dude's very meticulous, cares a lot about the game. Also out here trying to make a lot of money. He's been in the headlines. He's been all over the news for how slow he is playing. He had a couple, there's a couple videos surfacing, one where it was about like a two and a half minute video of him on the green with an 8 foot putt in front of him, and then he just misses the putt, which is a terrible look. Can't even, I mean, it's just bad. But Bryson DeChambeau has, you know, of course, come out and said, hey, like, this is my side of the story. I'm curious, War, how you feel about Bryson, especially with all these different things coming up recently.
For me, it's just, he's nicknamed the scientist for a reason.
Yeah, that's kind of his niche.
Yeah, he just, he has to calculate every little, you know, potential outcome when it comes, when it's on the, when he's on the golf course, just everything has to be taken into account. And that's what I do love about him. But at the same time, I think he needs to speed it up just a little bit. I'm not saying, you know, be like as quick as Brooks Koepka, because Koepka really is probably the fastest player on tour, but Bryson, he needs to, him and JB Holmes, the two slowest on tour, need to step it up just a little bit. And the and really, I don't blame either one of them. So they don't, neither one of them needs to speed it up. But if the PGA Tour is going to crack down on him a little bit, then they need to. Because really, neither one of these guys or any of the guys that are slower on tour are at fault at all. I mean, this is their livelihood on the line. This is their money. This is their income on the line. Do whatever it takes to make millions of dollars.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, screw the other players. Like, let's go out there and make a lot of money. And Bryson's not going to, you know, he's never going to say, look, this is, I'm taking 2 minutes on the green to, you know, to mess up with Justin Thomas or Fleetwood or one of the other players who's, you know, he's playing with. He's out there trying to make a lot of money. There's a ton of money on the line, especially with the FedEx Cup. I mean, there, it's legit that he has to, you know, think about these different things. And it would have been great if he would have made the putt. It would have made this whole thing look just a little bit better. But at the end of the day, you know, he's very convinced that he's not actually that slow of a golfer. I mean, he's made it very clear. Look, I walk to the ball faster than anybody on tour. I get up there. The problem is I'm a longer hitter, so I'm waiting for the guy behind me because that's just how it is. Like, we're not playing ready golf. This isn't ready golf in the PGA Tour. We have to wait for the people behind us out of respect. And he's like, that's fine, but don't call me a slow player when I have to set up and I take this amount of time to do that, even though I'm way ahead of the crowd when it comes to getting to my ball.
Which is totally fair.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a hard spot to be in as a fan, because personally, I don't really understand the whole quest to speed up the round of golf anyways when it comes to the professionals, because it's like, I mean, what are you really going to speed it up by 20 minutes?
And
is
then
that
it's
really that big of a difference?
Like, what is 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Like, what is, are you going to have a little bit more ads?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I mean, come on. Like,
it just doesn't really make sense to me, because if it were up to me, I would keep it exactly how it is. And maybe that's just because I like golf too much, and I just like watching golf and every little thing about golf. Like, with like, I love watching the preparation that goes into these shots, and you get to see that on TV. So I really have no problem with this. This is basically just me having consideration for the people who do have a problem with it and want to see it sped up, because I do understand that. I get that the casual, non-hardcore golf fan is going to want to just watch and not be like bored out of their mind. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but at the same time, I think a lot of the people who are really for this, and obviously, you know, you look at Brooks Koepka, he's one of the faster players on tour. He's been very, very, we got to speed up the game of golf. We got to play faster. This six-hour round is just ridiculous. But I think this is more for, like, them. Like, I think Brooks just doesn't want to be out there that long. Brooks doesn't have the patience to play a six-hour round. I mean, he obviously does. But it feels like he would much rather be out in 4 hours, 5 hours, compared to what they're doing right now. And I work at a golf course. You work at a golf course. We've worked big tournaments before. There's been large tournaments. We had a group the other day, you know, 64 golfers. Something took them 6 hours to play 18 holes of golf.
It's just gonna. Just how it goes.
It's just how it is. Yeah. Like, that's just what happens. And there's nothing we can do about it. Like, I can't, you know, make them play faster, and they have carts, so they don't really have much of an excuse. But
these guys are walking 7,800 yard courses,
large course. Like, it's not gonna take, you know, that four. It's always 4 hours is the number and the time that comes up, and how long it should take you to play a round of golf. 4 hours is a little ridiculous because it, you know, these courses are way longer. 4 hours is normally with a cart. You know, these guys are. You know, yeah, they hit the ball really much farther than your average golfer, but they're always going to be waiting because this is always a packed, you know, depending on how the tee times are scattered, this is always going to be a packed course. You're going to be waiting. It's just how it goes. You know, you can't, I don't know how you can speed the game up any faster than it already is without making it kind of unwatchable. Like, you know, like you can play fast, but if you take out all these guys' preparations that they've always done, it's just going to mess things up. It's going to make it a lot harder for some of these golfers.
Mm-hmm. And to me, you touched a little bit on the players want this. Not really. They don't really care about the viewers. Yeah. I don't think they do at all. I think this is just for them.
It feels like Brooks Koepka is caring about himself. It feels
literally
right now.
Just Brooks. And that's inexcusable because it's like, if you don't love, you clearly don't love golf. If an extra hour is impacting you in such a way that you're just like having a revolt against this. If it were me, I don't care how long I'm out there. I mean, what's the hurry? If you love playing golf, then you won't mind being out there for 5 hours, especially if it is, you know, a big competitive round like this.
And like, I've been frustrated before. We played a round earlier this summer, and it literally took us 6 hours to play. And that was the longest round of golf I've ever played. And I was very frustrated because I'm not, like, I'm a fast golfer. I like to get into a groove. I like to get into a little bit of rhythm. But when you're waiting for like an 8-some in front of you for hours, it's kind of ridiculous. But Brooks Koepka, I mean, this is what we've been saying all along. Brooks Koepka doesn't love the game of golf. Like, he really doesn't.
It's becoming more apparent every day.
Every single day. For a guy who's made millions of dollars and has a supermodel wife, and it's all because of the game of golf, dude doesn't like golf. Like, it's insane. And it's, I mean, right now it's Brooks versus Bryson, my guy versus the enemy, basically. And, you know, it as much as people are going to hate, as much as the media is hating on Bryson right now, I don't hate it. I really don't. There's a reason, and I think this is kind of something else, but there's a reason the PGA Tour hasn't, like, been cracking the whip on this, and it's because, if you think about it, the longer the PGA Tour is on TV, the longer these rounds are, the more money they're making. Exactly. Like, at the end of the day, they're making more money in ads. They're making, you know, more money. The people are spending more money at the tour because they're there longer. That's just how it goes. The PGA Tour is like, 4 hour round sounds terrible. Like, that doesn't sound great at all.
Exactly. And as a viewer, I don't know how you can complain about this at all, because
it's like watching more.
For us, it gets spaced out anyways. Somebody hits a shot and then they cut to somebody else.
Yeah.
And then he makes it, and then he hits a shot and then they cut to somebody. And it's just a continuous montage of shots. Yeah. Why do you care if it takes these guys an extra half an hour to finish their round? I just don't understand that at all. And the list of, you know, benefits to actually slower play, honestly, for these PGA Tour pros, kind of, the list is kind of adding up, because if you think about it, Brooks, he's going to have more time to read that putt. If he's waiting for Bryson DeChambeau to finish out putting, he can go read his putt, even get it more in-depth, you know, read of the pot. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
Or just get a better gauge of like what direction the wind is coming from. You know, if it's going to be a fly or lie out of the rough. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, no.
Golf is not a game where it should just be you step up to the ball and fire away.
Yeah, like I play a fast round of golf. I can go out there and I can walk 9 holes. It'll take me 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like I can do that.
Same.
But when I'm in a competition, like, you know, we're playing in a golf tournament tomorrow. We're going to be thinking about each shot. We're going to be like, all right, let's break this down, guys. What do we need to do here? What kind of shot are we putting up here? What's the wind doing? What's the angle here? Where do we need to put this ball? Where do we want it? You know, what side of the fairway do we want to be on? There's a lot of things to think about compared to when you're just going out there and, you know, just ready golf with your buddies mm-hmm. and
just relax having
a good time.
Yeah.
Like, it's different.
It's chess, there's, not checkers.
There's an exactly. That's yeah. fantastic. There's an insane amount of money on the line here. And if he makes the putt, he gets this much money. If he misses the putt, he gets that much money. Like, that's just how it goes. Like, 2 points on the PGA Tour is $15 million. Mm-hmm. We've heard the quote before.
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, come on. Like,
I mean, Brooks, of all people, should know how important it is to have time to, okay, up at the tee box. Okay, here, you want to be on the left side of the fairway.
Yeah.
Give yourself a better angle at that pin. Once you're up on the green, or say you miss the green to the right. Okay, like, there's a slope. You want to hit
yeah.
that slope. Maybe the grain is kind of coming this way. They even
yeah.
get that in depth with this.
This is your target
matters.
Zone. This is what
it
you,
matters.
Yeah, this is what the wind's going to be doing up there. This is what the wind's doing down here. This is, you know, there are so many different little tiny aspects that each thing, every single thing needs to be thought about, and just speeding that up and taking that out of it isn't a good, I mean, at the end of the day, this is a viewing experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like, golf is what these guys are doing. They're basically employees put out by the PGA Tour to give us
mm-hmm.
a good viewing experience. And we don't want bad golf. You know, when we get out there and we see, you know, 10 over par, 15 over par, that's disgusting. We don't want to watch that. No, we want to watch these guys drain birdie putts.
Mm-hmm.
We want to watch these guys hit eagles and hit flashy shots
and
into the green.
And if they're on the clock worried about what time
yes.
they're going to get,
it's not
going to
happen.
Happen.
Absolutely.
Exactly. I mean, mic drop.
Yeah.
Literally just mic drop.
Literally.
But, I mean, my question to these guys who are complaining is, what's the hurry? If you're
yeah.
not, if you don't love golf enough to be out there and dedicate yourself to it, get out. I mean,
yeah.
I don't want to watch you play golf then. If
yeah.
that's the case, if I love golf more than you do and you're doing it professionally, then there's a problem there. Honestly.
Nathan, we're trying to fight Brooks Koepka right now.
I mean, it's true. If you
no, it
have
is
all
very
that
true.
Talent and you're playing for millions of dollars and you don't truly love the
yeah.
sport, then you shouldn't be playing at all.
I mean, look at it like this. My dad goes to work 8 in the morning, gets home from work 5 or 6. That's so much time. If you're on the golf course, if you're prep time on the golf course, if you're playing a 6-hour round and you have, well, Brooks shows up 40 minutes before, 30 minutes before, all right, so we got 6.5 hours of your work day. Your work day is 6.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time you worked a
Stop
6.5 hour day?
Yeah.
Like, come on, dude. Like, this is your job. You're going out there, you're making way more money than the people who are working, you know, the 12-hour days and 13-hour days. Like,
of actual work.
Of actual hard work. Like, you are playing golf. You are doing every person's, what everyone who's doing those hard jobs wants to be doing
mm-hmm.
right now. You're doing it. You're getting paid a ridiculous amount of money to do it. Calm down. Like, you need,
this
unreal.
Is the ultimate first world problem.
Yeah, right, for real.
The ultimate first world problem. And just to come back to Bryson a little bit, he talks about how he speeds up his
yeah.
walking because he knows he wants to overcompensate for the fact that he knows he does take a little bit longer
yeah.
to calculate once he gets up to the ball. He's going to haul butt to get up to his
and
ball.
And I've seen that before. I've seen Bryson. I've seen his videos, and I've made the comment, like, why is he speed walking like that? Why is he, like, running to the ball? And, like, he does. Like, that is
mm-hmm.
something Bryson DeChambeau does, because he has the self awareness where he knows, yeah, I take a little bit longer
mm-hmm.
with my shots. Yeah, I plan out the shots a little bit differently than some of these other players. I care about these different variables. He thinks about these different variables. So he gets to his ball faster and
mm-hmm.
he gets ready faster. And yeah, it takes him a longer to swing the club and start that process. But when he's waiting for other people, there's nothing
yeah.
he can do about it. He was there before them. Like, he got to where he needed to be as soon as he possibly could.
And I can relate to this actually a little bit, because I do the same thing to a degree. When I get up to the ball, I know that I take before I when I'm standing over the ball and it takes me a little bit longer to pull the trigger, so I don't even take practice swings. I rarely will ever take practice swings, knowing that I take a little bit longer over the ball anyways. I want to take everybody into consideration. I won't want slow play to happen on my watch.
Yeah.
So it's little things like that. It's not that big of a deal. People are really trying to make sure that it isn't painfully slow, because yeah. I get it when it's painfully slow and you're waiting for the people in front of you.
When was the last time you watched a golf tournament though and it was painfully slow? No. Like you were just having a bad time watching it because they were playing so slow. No. That's never happened in my entire life.
I mean, occasionally you'll see like, oh, they're waiting for the par three green to clear.
Yeah, and which that is just happens. Like, yeah, that's golf. Like,
but other than that, it's TV and it's entertainment, and we really have nothing to complain about, and neither do the players.
No, absolutely. That's just my take. I'm 100% with you on that. That's what it is. I mean, mic drop. For real. That's what it is. Next topic in the PGA Tour that we have to talk about, which I don't want to talk about, Tiger Woods withdrew from, you know, this is a guy who's made that huge epic comeback, wins the Masters, hasn't looked great. We talked about it in our last podcast. If you take the little snippet of winning the Masters out, this has been a bad year for Tiger, and he withdraws. It's concerning. I don't love it. The reports are in that he's feeling much, much better.
Mm-hmm. That's reassuring.
Which is great. Sure. Which is, you know, I love to see. I love, you know, he's feeling way better ahead of the BMW Championship. He needs to, obviously, pretty much needs to win if he wants to make it to East Lake. But I don't care about that. I just want Tiger Woods to go out there and play a solid round, you know, four solid rounds
healthy.
Of golf.
That's all.
Look healthy. None of that. Don't feel like he needs to win because he doesn't. Like, that's not what this is about. This isn't, you know, this isn't a major. This isn't anything like that. I just want him to go out there and show us as fans that he can still play.
Mm-hmm. And for me, there's one thing I want to see Tiger do, and that's break Jack Nicklaus's record for majors. But if we can't have that, I will gladly take him breaking Sam Snead's all-time win record at 80 and beat it at 83. And if he can win this week, that'd be really awesome, because it'd get him one more close, or just one win closer to that all-time mark.
Yeah.
But at the same time, majors are huge. They're the number one priority. So if you can just gear up for next season, I'm totally happy with that. I just want to see him healthy. It's as simple as that. I don't care if he finishes, you know, T32.
Yeah.
As long as he looks healthy, I'm
If he withdraws from this tournament, I don't want to see him playing golf for the rest of the year.
No.
I do not want to see any...
I don't even want to see him at the President's Cup
in
December.
I do not want to see him at the President's Cup in December, because, no, if he withdraws from this upcoming tournament, the BMW Championship, I don't want to see him on a golf course. No. I want him to get right, figure things out, and then we can talk about next year when it comes around. I love Tiger Woods. He's a great athlete. He's an awesome player to watch. He makes golf worth watching every time he's on the television. But with that means you want him to be on the TV for the next couple years. And if, you know, he goes down with another injury here, I don't know if he ever gets back on the golf course.
Simply because of his age.
Yeah, because of his prior injury history. And, you know, he said, you know, part of it being his age, and, you know, things just flare up every now and then. That's what happened. But he says he's feeling a lot better, which is great. So hopefully he really is feeling a lot better, and we're going to find out. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep, by the time they listen to this, I'm sure he'll be teed off and playing it.
So we'll know what's going on by, you know, in the next couple of days. But hopefully we're crossing our fingers that Tiger Woods
is enthusiastic.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, folks, that is it for this episode of the Hybrid Podcast. So glad everyone could join us. Really quickly, if you like our podcast, if you want to support us, there's a link below on whatever listening platform you are using. If you don't already follow us on social media, please do so at Hybrid Podcast. That's all one word, at Hybrid Podcast. So next week, podcast will come out on Thursday. Thursday is the day we will be moving into our new apartment down in Mount Pleasant, so we'll be back on the CMich grind, which we're really excited about. Obviously, Wart will be starting at CMU for his first semester there. Pretty excited.
It's gonna be so sweet.
We're looking forward to it. It's gonna be a good time. So next week's episode, we will record it still in Gaylord, but, you know, after that, the episodes will be coming from Mount Pleasant, which will be different, which will be fun. Yeah, so we're looking forward to the change. A lot of college football in the near future, a lot of NFL football in the near future. Sports are just starting to get super busy again, which is awesome.
This is kind of a dead period for sports. So so for those like non-golf fans, don't worry. It's going to be a lot of football.
A lot of football coming up. I mean, there's literally a ton of football coming up.
Just so much football. And I mean, we're a couple of huge football fans.
Yeah, getting October, we'll have baseball going. We'll have, I mean, it's going to be pretty exciting here coming up. So we hope everybody sticks around for that in the near future. Hope everyone has a very safe and productive work week. And as always, fire up chips.